The women's ministry, ladies, the second event's getting ready to happen. So you need to get signed up for that, and the information's out there. And then also this week we're doing a fundraiser, or you can get the coupons for the fundraiser for the CareNet Crisis Pregnancy Center. There's some coupons out there. You grab them and go to the Texas Roadhouse, and they'll give 10% of your bill to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. Then the big thing, be praying for all of the volunteers for VBS, because that's happening this week. And pray for the volunteers that they can make it. Right? It's a long week. But mostly pray for the kids, you know, and how exciting it is. It's always, you know, encouraging to me when you see the little guys and, you know, that stuff. You know, for some of us, we go in there and we go, eh. But the little guys, they think it's so real and their eyes get so big and they get so excited. So just pray that, and pray that they would just really, here it says to pray that they would have an encounter with Christ through weird animals. So. Yeah, moving right along. So, anyway, so be praying for that that time this week. All right, let's go to the Lord. Father, we do thank you once again, and I do thank you for bringing Walter and Eddie and Renato and having them just come and bless us, Lord. And how cool it is when just kind of get reunited with people. And I do pray now that as we open your word, that you would bless this time, God, that you would speak to our hearts, especially as we look at David and, Lord, the different situations that he gets into, that, Lord, bottom line, you put him into. And, God, I pray that we can learn from him, as Renato shared earlier, that we can learn from him to rejoice in our trials. And, Lord, not always looking for that way out, but, Lord, that we would allow you to refine us and mold us and shape us and build us into the men and women of God that you see and that you desire for us to be. So once again, Lord, bless this time and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we continue on here, remember that last time we saw David was in the caves. He's kind of hiding out. God sent him. Remember the people who came to David? It was the people who were in distress, the people who were desperate, and the people who had a really bad credit report. So they're the ones that, and think about that. When you think about that, it's pretty encouraging, isn't it? To think about who, you know, some of us are or were and what God is doing in our lives. But here's the thing. David leads these guys, and this speaks to his leadership. He leads these guys and makes them into an army. And, you know, some people say, well, but they were valiant men. Well, yeah, maybe they were, but they were like some crazy guys when you think about trying to put a group together. And so now here's the thing. David is in a position, and now here's what God is going to do. He's going to tell David to probably do one of the most uncomfortable things that David would want to do. If you have a king trying to kill you, probably the best thing to do would be hide from that king, right? Stay out of the way. Stay kind of low-key and kind of get through and wait your 10 years and hope everything's okay. Here's what God is going to do. He's going to tell him, I want you to go, and check this out, I want you to go fight a battle, but I don't want you to just fight a battle. I want you to fight a battle for that king. For that king? I don't know if I want to fight for that king, right? That king wants to kill me. And again, it speaks to the integrity of David and his heart. But mostly, here's the thing we're going to see tonight. We're going to look at David and Saul kind of, I call this ring around the mountain thing going on here. But as we look at it, one of them's listening to God and one of them isn't. One of them is going to continue walking with God, and the other one's going to continue walking away from God. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but as we've been studying this, and maybe, you know, this time going through Samuel's just for me, but it's speaking a lot to my heart, my attitude, and what's going on in my life, and how to deal with situations. So think about, which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the one walking away from God and not listening to God and getting all your intel from people around you? Or do you want to be the one that's listening to God? And check this out, still getting in bad situations, bad circumstances, but you got God with you in those circumstances, and he keeps speaking to you. So that's the thing we need to pay attention to. So look at verses 1 and 2. It says, then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they're robbing the threshing floor. So, you know, before we go on to verse 2, just think about someone coming and telling you that, and you're kind of on the run, right? You're trying to stay out of trouble. You're trying to stay out of the way. Someone comes and tells you that. Would some of our attitudes be, what does that have to do with me? That's King Saul's problem, right? He's the king. I'm the guy he's trying to kill. So who cares about Keilah, by the way, which is part of Israel. It's in the land of Judah. So it's part of that. And it's not too far away from where he's at. So people come and they're telling him that. So David kind of implies to somebody that he's going to go to, well, David inquires of the Lord. Verse 2, therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack the Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. So what is David? He gets the news. Who does he go to? The Lord. He doesn't go to his friends. He doesn't go to people around him. Those guys. He doesn't go to them. Who does he go to? The Lord. Here's what the Lord says. I want you to go take care of those guys. I want you to go attack the Philistines. I want you to do this. I want you to quit your undercover stuff. And I want you to go out in the open and I want you to take care of it. Now here's kind of the crazy thing. Look at verse 3. But David's men, right? The men who were distressed, the men who were disappointed, the men who had the bad credit rating, you know those guys? Listen, but David's men said to him, look, we are afraid here in Judah. Here's what they're saying. We're afraid right now because Saul's after us, so we're afraid. And then here's what they say. So we're going to stick out here. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? They're going, are you stupid, David? That's kind of an interesting dilemma. Here's the thing. Think about. You've got these guys who are going to follow you. And now they're telling you, I don't really want to follow you. They're saying that's one of the dumbest things we can do. That makes no sense. Listen, makes no sense logically. Surely doesn't practically make any sense. And so we don't think we should go. Now, I don't know about you, but peer pressure is alive and well, right? By the way, it's increased from just the couple hundred to almost 600 guys by now. He's got a few guys. I don't know if all of them have bad credit reports, but most of them do. But let's just go back to the 200. You got 200 guys saying, we're not going. And one guy saying, we need to go, God said so. And those guys are going, look, we're afraid, man. If we're afraid in the cave, how much more afraid are we going to be if we go out in the open and we start fighting the Philistines and then, you know, Saul comes up behind us and wipes us out with his, you know, 3,000 guys against our 2. We don't want to do that. I've read ahead a little bit, so I kind of have some insight, right? Some stuff they didn't quite read ahead, but they kind of had, they knew. So look at verse 4, then David said, okay, we won't go. That's not what it says, right? Some of you are still reading. My Bible doesn't say that. How come you're saying? What does David do? Check this out, because I think this is important for all of us. David believed he heard from the Lord. And I don't think the Lord always spoke audibly to these guys. I think he did some. But I don't think it was like, I don't think their relationship with the Lord was much different than ours. Okay? Because I think sometimes some of us think, well, if he talked to me like he talked to David, I would do anything. No, you wouldn't. So listen, David believed that the Lord was telling him to go to Keilah and fight the Philistines. The guys around him are saying no. David really believed he heard from the Lord. So listen carefully. If you really believe you heard from the Lord, what should you do? Go back to the Lord, right? Isn't that what David does? Listen. So then David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, quit listening to those guys and go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. So the first time he says, I want you to go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Now he says, it's a done deal, David. Trust me. Once again, are you going to trust or not? And how are you going to get those guys to go? Are you going to trick them? Are you going to force them? Are you going to manipulate them? How do you get them to go? How do you get a group like that to follow you? Well, I think the only thing you can do is get up and go. And so David, look at verse 5, and David and his men went to Keilah, fought with the Philistines, and struck them with a mighty blow and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. So here's the thing, you know, he goes and he's faithful to God. God honors that. God takes care of him. Oh, by the way, verse 6 tells us how he heard from the Lord. Verse 6 is kind of parenthetical. It says, now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. Listen, that's kind of letting us know. Remember the priest had the ephod, and the ephod had the Urim and the Thummim in it, that none of us know what it is, but we kind of guess what it is, but it doesn't really matter what it was. It was how they heard from the Lord, and they were convinced that it worked. That's how David was getting his information. Listen, I think that's parenthetical, telling us that David isn't, once again, audibly hearing from God. He's trusting God, and he's believing what God has revealed to him. So he goes down, he has a great victory. Now, instead of, most of us have read a few verses on, because you guys cheat and do that, but you're David. You haven't read on. You have a great victory. Don't you kind of think, woohoo! I delivered these guys. I saved an entire town. Now, shouldn't I get some rest, right? Shouldn't things lighten up a little bit? All David did, listen carefully, all David did was put himself in a position and in a place to be attacked by Saul. That's all he did. And listen, God is so cool because God led him right into that. See, some of us think that God's supposed to lead us down a rosy path, right? Because some pastor somewhere told you God has a wonderful plan for your life. Might have been this pastor. Listen carefully. I believe he does have a wonderful plan for your life. And as I've said many times, his definition of wonderful and your definition of wonderful are two different things. But here's what I know. God wants to do a work in us. I was talking, I think it was to Walter earlier, about this journey we're on. And we're all on a journey, and God's working and changing us and molding us and shaping us. And he's putting us in each other's paths so our paths cross, so we're rubbing each other, so those rough edges can get worn off and things can happen and we can be changed. And praise God for that, right? Shouldn't we be praising God for the people that rub us a little bit? Instead, we're going, get away from me, God, would you just kill them and take them to heaven? You know, and kind of type thing. And I don't want them anymore. And God's saying, I'm using them in your life. I'm rubbing and refining and doing the work in you. And we're going, okay, I think I'm done. I'm fine. So here's what he's doing. He's going to refine David. And you know what? I think a lot of us miss the refining process of God because we so avoid those situations that he wants to use to change us. God wants to do a work in our lives. He loves us so much, and he so wants to change us. And we're looking at situations, and, you know, I'm not much different. You look at a situation, most of us are not going to go into a Keilah and do a fight for somebody we don't even care about, somebody that really wants to kill us, and somebody that we know wants to kill us. It's obvious now. And yet he goes and he fights for him, and he delivers those people. And now, listen, now he's in a worse position than he was before. Listen what happens in verse 7, and Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, woohoo, God has delivered him into my hand, for he shut himself by entering a town that has gates and bars. Here's what Saul knows. He went into a city that was a gated community, okay? And now he's in there and the gate's locked. And Saul's going, I got him now, man. It is no problem now. I got that guy. And notice what Saul says, God delivered him into my hand. Here's what I want to tell Saul. When was the last time you ever talked to God? Right? But you know, sometimes we get in a place where we fool ourselves. And we're distant and we're away from God and we're not telling anybody, we're not talking about it, but you know, to truth be known, we haven't spent any time with him in years. We go through the motions, we show up at church. We show up at church 2 times a week, maybe 3 times a week. But there's no intimate relationship. And Saul was in that place. So here's Saul. Saul's thinking just because he's king and just because David's in Keilah that God delivered him. So now he thinks he has it. So he gathers the guys. And I looked ahead and it's like 3,000 guys according to the next chapter in verse 2. So listen, Saul in verse 8, then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Here's what's going on. He's going down and he's going to besiege this entire city to kill David. What happened two chapters ago? Or I'm sorry, last chapter, what happened? All the priests of Nob were killed, right? That's fresh on David's mind. Because whose fault was that? David's fault, right? So here's what the people of Israel know. When Saul loses his temper and comes to your town, you may die, because that's what he's done. And especially when he marches in with 3,000 men. 3,000 men for David? Really? For David? So he's on his march, he's on his way, and it says, listen, when David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. So here's what David is hearing, no matter what's being said. Here's what he's hearing. The city is going to be destroyed because of me. What happened to Nob? It happened, didn't it? Now David's faced with a similar situation. And I believe he's a little bit panicked. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, it's bad enough to mess up your own life, right? It's bad enough to mess up your spouse's life and your kid's life. But a whole city? An entire city? And all you wanted to do, listen, all you wanted to do was follow God. As a matter of fact, you believe God directed you there. Now, here's what you're hearing. Saul is on his way, and he's going to destroy the city. Why? Because of you. Let me ask you something. Would you call out to God at that point as David's doing? Or would you maybe say, God, why'd you let this happen to me? How come all I was doing was serving you and now I'm in this situation and you don't even care? Did you ever say that to God? Some of you say no. Some of you know you have. Some of you are sitting there thinking, oh man. And so, listen, now he's in that predicament, and he's saying, Lord, this is what I hear, this is what I understand is going on, this city's going to be destroyed. And then here's what he asks, check this out, verse 11, first of all, he says, will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? So check this out, here's what he's saying, are these guys going to deliver me to Saul, and who are the men of Keilah? The men I just saved, right? I just came to war, saved their city, are they going to give me to Saul? Certainly not, right? Wouldn't you believe they wouldn't do that? Come on, you just rescued them. You wouldn't even have to ask. I'm their hero. So listen, are they going to do that? You guys I know have all read ahead, so you're like thinking, Pat, why are you doing that? What difference does it make? David's in the middle of this drama. So listen, he's going, are they going to do that? And then he says, his second question, in the middle of verse 11, will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. So here's what he's saying. I want to know two things. Are they going to deliver me? And is Saul really going to come down? So he asks God two things. God answers the second one first. And he tells him, yeah, he's coming, David. And then I'm thinking, then why did you bring me here, right? The end of verse 11, and the Lord said, yep, he's going to come down. Why did God put you in that situation? Why did God allow you to be in that place where now you're sort of hemmed in? Because he wants to change you. And most importantly, listen carefully, most importantly, he wants you to trust him. God desires that we trust him, that we believe him. We put our faith in him. And God desires, even when it seems like we're at the end of everything that we will say, okay, so he's coming. And then David says, okay, we got that. So listen, verse 12, then David said, okay, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, yep, they're going to do that. Now, what are you going to do about it, David? Don't read on. Look up. Here's what's going to happen. Yes, he's coming down. Yes, they're going to deliver you. What are you going to do about it, David? Now, here's what I love. This kind of, some people talk about, well, God said he's going to be delivered, so he's going to be delivered. Well, not necessarily. God said he's going to be delivered unless David makes a move, right? David can make a move. And here's the whole thing. David can stay in Keilah, watch those men deliver him, watch all of them be killed and massacred again, or he can choose to leave. David gets out of there. This is what I love. Listen, and because, you know what? I think this goes against everything David is. If you're a warrior and a fighter, and you have killed that many people, and you're the guy, remember the guy who brought the 200 foreskins? I mean, you're a tough guy, right? Wouldn't it be hard to walk away from a fight? Come on, there's some people that are just born fighters, right? And they're not going to walk away. They don't care if there's 10,000 people in front of them. I'm going to fight them all. David was that person. That's who he was. So listen, when we hear that he takes off, I think that was harder than for him to stand and fight. Are you getting my point? Sometimes it's hard. God asks you to do stuff that's more difficult, and in some situations you go, no, that would be easy for me. Yeah, for us to run, because we're a bunch of chickens. I am. I'm kind of a guy, man. If there's something going on, you can ask my wife. You know that whole thing of fight or flight? I can run fast. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you guys everything. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah. Here's what David said. I don't want the same thing to happen here that happened in Nob. I'm out of here. Come on, guys, let's go. Now, once again, you're kind of building up. He had 200, now he's got 600. Isn't it kind of hard to walk around with 600 people and not be noticed? Right? I've been to these places in Israel that we're going to read about. Even in those places, that's a lot of people to be hanging out with, to sneak around. Shh, they might see us. Unless you have some good intel. David needs excellent intel. Now, I happen to know his intel officer. It's Jesus. And he gets so much better intel than what Saul gets. And listen, for the next few weeks, we're going to be reading between him and Saul, and their little battles going on and what's happening, and we're going to find out whether it's better to listen to God or listen to man, to hear what God has to say and trust him, or to listen to man. So listen, this is David and his men took off, and it says, listen, then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. So here's the cool thing. What did David do by leaving? He saved all the people of Keilah again, right? I think those guys owe him. What do you guys think? I think in heaven there's going to be a little bit of stuff going on between these guys. So listen, then, verse 14, and David stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into the hand of Saul. So if you look at this wilderness, this is all west of Jerusalem and going towards the Dead Sea, in between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea. And listen, it's just like, it's a funky, funky area east of Jerusalem, but it's a horrible, desolate area. If you've ever been to Israel, we think we have desert, but this is desert. It's like, when it says wilderness, it's not like wilderness like Oregon wilderness, right? Those of us who have been there, it's like wilderness like rocks and dirt. And that's it. Is that any place for a king to be hanging out? Listen, he was anointed king. He's going to be doing this for 10 years. Some of us, God spoke to our hearts about things, and we think if God is showing us something, it needs to happen like that. Especially if you're like me. Come on, God, you told me we were going to do this, and how come we're not doing it? Because you're not where you need to be yet. I got to take you through some experiences to get you so you can be the man or woman of God that I'm going to use in that certain situation. I got to rub some edges off. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to hang out in the wilderness for 10 years. How long was Moses in the wilderness? 40 years, right? He was a really rough guy. Think about your life and sometimes how we get frustrated, and it's bottom line because we're not trusting him and we're not listening to him. So listen, here he is running around. Saul, what does it say? Saul sought him every day. Saul's looking all over for him. So verse 15, I love this. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Now check this out. This cracks me up. Verse 16, then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. Do you read that? Listen to that. Saul looked for him every day, couldn't find him. So Jonathan got up and went and talked to him. How does that happen? Your dad is looking for this guy. He can't find him. You wake up one morning and go and you go talk to David. Hey, David, my dad's looking for you. Yeah, I know that. He can't find you, but I can. Isn't that kind of incredible? I mean, when you read it, listen, I think we read our Bibles too casually. I don't know about you, but I read that verse and I think, how did Jonathan find him? How did Jonathan know? How did he know where to go? I mean, they're looking all over. And again, that place is like, there's not like road signs. Have you ever been way, way out away from, you know, all civilization? And you've been in places and there's like not signs, right? I remember when we were doing work in Mexico and hiking down to this in this canyon area like the Grand Canyon. And we would hike down and there's trails. You're going on a trail. But all of a sudden the trail splits and it goes this way and that way. And there's not a sign saying, this way to San Pedro. How do you know which way to go? Well, you got to hire a guide because they know which way the trails go, right? There's not signs. How do you find David? Well, I'm kind of thinking Johnny talked to God. And Jonathan's such a good guy. What does he do? He goes to David. Listen, once again, I can't emphasize enough about this guy. You know, our Bible heroes. I've got Bible heroes, but I have to be honest. I don't always look at Jonathan as a hero, but I think he's one of the heroes of the heroes of the heroes of the Bible. Just because of his circumstances in his life and everything he's going through. He was raised by Saul. He was groomed to be king. And Saul knew it, and he knew it. And by the way, he's quite a bit older than David. And here he is out there, and he's serving David, not Saul. And he knows that David is going to take his place. He knows that David is going to be the king, not him. And here's what he does. He loves on him, and he encourages him. It even says he strengthened his hand in God, right? He strengthened his hand in God, and he said to him, verse 17, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You know, I kind of think maybe, just maybe, when Johnny walked up, David went. Right? Hey, you're thinking no one can find you, right? And Johnny walks up, he's going, don't worry. Saul's not going to find you. Now, what's he telling him? A couple things, he's not going to find you. But another thing, I'm not going to go tell him where you are. Don't worry about that. And he says, listen, you don't have anything to be afraid of. And then here's the crazy thing. Don't fear, for my father shall not find you. And here's what he says. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. Have you ever known something that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, and then you fight against it? That's not a good life, because you know what that does to you? Makes you bitter. Makes you spiteful. It makes you not fun to be around. And Saul is in that place in his life. Even Saul knows that David is anointed king, and he's rejecting the will of God in his life. He's rejecting the obvious in his life, and he keeps beating his head against that. And all that does is make you angrier and meaner and more abusive to those around you. And that's who Saul is. Listen, there's times where you just got to let go. And if you know in your knower that you know, don't fight against it. He goes, my dad even knows that. So the two of them, verse 18, the two of them made a covenant. Remember, cut the covenant. When you cut a covenant, you cut a cow in half, walk in between it, do that thing. They made a covenant before the Lord. And David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. So Jonathan leaves. This is the last time they see each other. Jonathan doesn't get to be beside him as king. Because Jonathan is killed. So this is the last time they see each other. It's kind of sad. And then check this out. So here's David minding his own business, hangs out with Jonathan. It's kind of good. He's in the wilderness, but there's some other people in the wilderness with him, the Ziphites. That's not good. Listen, this says the Ziphites in verse 19. The Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah and saying, is David not hiding with us in the strongholds in the woods? Here's what they do. They go out and they go, we know where David's at. And check, it tells him, and he's in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south side of Jeshimon. So listen, he tells, now we read that and we go, I don't know where that is. But they know exactly. Listen, it's on this hill. This hill is Hakilah, and it's on the south side of Jeshimon. It's right over here, and that's where David's at, and we know where he's at. These aren't very nice people, are they, the Ziphites? No, again, they're part of Israel. I think all of Israel knew what was going on. I think all of Israel knew what was happening. So here they are. They go and tell Saul, now therefore, well, here's what they say in verse 20. Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. Do you think maybe their motivation might have been they were afraid that Saul was going to show up and destroy them and kill them if they didn't let him know? That's a motivator, isn't it? Fear is a horrible motivator, but I think that's what's going on. So they go and they go, we know where he's at. Oh, king, come down, you poor man. He's not poor at all. Now listen, Saul plays on that. Have you ever noticed those people that are mean and bitter and angry and going against God also are so manipulative? Have you ever noticed that? Check this out. Look at this. Verse 21, and Saul said, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Oh, puke. Oh, it's like, seriously, man, I just don't like Saul. It's like, really? By the way, I have in my notes here, this is where Psalm 54 was written. We'll read it in a minute. It's kind of interesting during this time. Not during the throw-up time, but right before that. So he says, thank you. And then he tells him, look at verse 22. Please go and find out for sure and see the place where his hideout is and who has seen him, for I am told that he's very crafty. Really? Really? Oh, Saul, you just... So verse 23, see therefore and take knowledge of all his lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you, and I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah. Here's what Saul's saying. I'm going to go high and low, all the clans of Judah. Here's kind of an unspoken threat. If I have to kill every single person in Judah, I'm going to kill every person in Judah, but I'm going to get David. I got 3,000 men. I'm going to get him, period. So come back to me, give me the intel. So they do, right? They go and they tell him, here's where he's at. So verse 24, so they arose and they went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. So when Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And then when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. So you guys know where he's at, right? Like, it makes no sense to us, but it does to them. Listen, they're kind of running around, and again, it's all that wilderness area that's a desert, and they're kind of going from here and going there and going here. Now they get on a mountain. This is like one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And then it says this in verse 26, then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side of the mountain. So it's like this. They're like ring around the mountain, right? What's going on? But you can only do that so long, right? And then one of you catches up with the other one. So... And by the way, you're doing this with 600 men and 3,000 men. It's a little bit large, right? So it says, so David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. So don't read on yet. Look up. So here's the thing, man. It's getting close now, and it's getting intense, right? And here you are, you're David. All you've done is listen to God. That's all you've done. And here's what you know at this point. I'm going to die today. I can't outrun him. I can't beat him. It's done. It's over. And all I've done is what God's asked me to do. It's all I've done. You ever feel that way sometimes? Not that you're going to die. You ever feel like you've just been really severely let down by God? I think if you've served God, you have. Because listen, you get in situations and you serve Him and you get in a place and you think, man, after all I've done, this is it? This is what I get? This guy's going to kill me? I've been there. I've done what you've asked me. I've done everything. And you kind of feel that way sometimes. And here's what I know. God is never early, but He's never late. And listen, it's about time. He's going to die, and then, check this out. Superhero comes. Verse 27, but a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. The Philistines just happened to invade the land again, right? I don't know about you guys, but I'm reading about these Philistines. I'm thinking, weren't they supposed to be like done away with like a couple centuries ago? And we're still fighting those guys? This is insane. So listen, they're coming. Therefore, Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. And they called that place the Rock of Escape. Or you can read the Hebrew name in your footnotes, which I'm not even going to try and say. It's the Rock of Hashubashubashik. The end, you got to just do the... And that sounds good. Okay? It's that rock. Or the Rock of Escape. So here's the thing. Hey, did you notice just at the right time, the Philistines show up and Saul's gone? Who's doing that? God. God is protecting him. God is taking care of him. So, I mean, who do you want to listen to? Your intel guys or God? Right at the right time. And then David went up from there and he dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Now, En-Gedi is like talking about the small goat or the goat, and many of us have been up to that place. We've seen the caves that are there. There's still in that area. There's still tons of caves in that area. So David goes up a canyon. Bottom line is what it is. He goes up a canyon and he's hanging out there. Next week we'll read one of the incredible encounters that he has with Saul. But that's next week. This week, what do we learn? Well, here's what I learned. Just because I'm trusting God and listening to God and following God does not mean that I'm going to escape every kind of trouble, every kind of trial, every kind of gross situation. As a matter of fact, I think more often when we really trust God, really follow God, really believe God, we're going to get in some more. And I know some of you are going, then I'm out now. But when you walk with God through those trials is the greatest victory you will ever experience. Running from them doesn't give you any victory. Being beat down by them surely doesn't give you any victory. But trusting God through them and getting to the other side, then you know what faith is all about. Because faith is about when you cannot and only God can. If you can handle it, you can take care of it, you can get yourself out of it. That's not faith, that's you. But when you have to get and trust God completely, that's Him. So I read this, listen, I read this and I get really encouraged. Because here's what I know, no matter how ugly it gets when we serve God, and it can get ugly. Listen, I know a lot of people think, if I could just serve God, it would be so wonderful. If I could work at the church, it's wonderful. You know who works at the church? A bunch of sinners. You guys think like we go around here with halos? Oh, don't let my halo bump into yours. Sorry. It's what some people think. Man, it must be wonderful. Hey, I think it's great, but it's not that. We're just like everybody else. And you know what? Sometimes we even rub each other the wrong way, and we have to like go in and lock all our doors so we don't kill each other. Small group, have better aim. But you know what? Serving God is the best thing you could ever do. No matter how difficult and how hard, you will never, ever regret it. So let's kind of think about our situations right now, and maybe we're in some really ugly, stinky ones, and we're not really happy right now, and we're not really content. Listen, you better start listening to God, because if you start listening to people around you, you're going to get more discontent and more discontent and less happy until you come undone. if you listen to God, follow him through it, you're going to get through it. May not be fun, but you'll get through it. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you once again, Lord. We thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for this section here with David and looking at what's going on. And Lord, I do pray, God, that you would just take our hearts, take our lives, encourage us and strengthen us and teach us to trust you. And Lord, I pray that as we get ready to leave tonight, that Lord, we would have that encouragement from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, before we sing, I have to read to you guys Psalm 54. You guys almost forgot. Listen, David, now get back into the thing. David's running, freaking out, hiding. Listen what he says. Here's what he wrote. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers, the Ziphites, have raised up against me, and oppressors have sought my life, for they have not set God before them. And then that word Selah, which means think about it, take a breath, kind of relax a little bit. And then he goes on, he says, behold, here's what happens. This is after the Philistines show up. Check this out. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil, cut them off in your truth. Now be careful when you start praying out for your enemies, but listen, and I will freely sacrifice to you, God. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. He has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. Here's what I know. David's not clear of everything yet. Saul's still coming after him. So kind of think about that psalm. Maybe start memorizing parts of that to put into your life when your enemies come against you, all right? Cool, let's sing a song.